Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East and Dave Seager. For the next hour, we are talking Arsenal and Arsenal only. And there is so much to get into. Obviously, the thriller last week against Liverpool up at Anfield in the League Cup. 5-5, 10 goals, 3-1 up. 4-2, still couldn't get the job done, ultimately losing on penalties. Danny Ceballos missing a penalty there that would see Arsenal not qualify for the next round. And then the game against Wolves on the weekend, 1-0 up, couldn't see it out either, 1-1 there. Wolves having 25 shots, which is the most Arsenal have ever conceded at home in the Premier League, at the Emirates that is, of course. So it's not good signs for Arsenal at the minute. 2 league wins in 9. I'm starting with all the negatives because this show will turn into a positive, I'm sure. Oh, and we may have to talk a little bit about the manager, because that seems to be growing ever louder. Unai in, Unai out. A certain poll vote that was put out earlier, there were quite some surprising results as a large number of you voted. We'll be talking all about that, but we want to hear from you tonight. So tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. 5-5-8. Before we talk about the game with Wolves on a weekend, let's quickly touch upon that game. 5-5 up at Liverpool. Charlie, so unlucky. Some great bits of magic from Willip. We just spoke about it. It was a great game. Ultimately, not enough to go through, though.
It was enjoyable game to watch, wasn't it, really?
Really enjoyable.
I mean, people say it's a neutral.
We're not neutrals.
Even neutrals. I mean, it wasn't a good game to watch because obviously at the end we lost. And it was just... and I was gutted we lost. It was a good opportunity to go up there. I know the teams they put out. As soon as I see the two starting lineups, I thought, we've got a chance here. And I thought, what a good opportunity, no matter all the crap going on at the minute, to go and get any win Anfield, no matter what team you play, would have been good. And it looked like we were going to do it. Even when they come back to 4-0, oh no, here we go. And then Willock's gone up there and scored that goal. And it looked dead and buried. They were really, Liverpool's crosses were very lazy. They looked knackered. And then... I think it's Saka's fault to go on in the end. Mm. Switched off and just sort of laziness. The cross has come in and the Rigi's got time to do that. I was gutted. And as soon as it went to penalties in front of the cop, it was just all written that we were going to lose, wasn't it? And
The positives were that the some of the youngsters played very well again. Yeah. But also, I think the big positive we had to take from that is, I mean, I didn't like the substitutions, but as soon as he took Ozil off, I thought he's starting at the weekend.
Yeah.
Because he played really,
really
well.
Dave? No, Did you straight away?
As soon as he took him off, I thought he's going to start.
And Torreira. He took them both off.
They both played well, and you thought, that was it. You know, that's the rehearsal. What surprised me is that the change in formation. He played Ozil in one formation, and then the weekend, when we played 4-2-3-1 at Anfield, which I think should be our go-to formation.
It's
the most natural with our squad. And then, you know, come the weekend, Ozil is indeed starting, and then he plays a 4-4-2.
Yeah, I was very surprised that Ozil started on the weekend, because obviously it was his first appearance at Liverpool, and then he made one on the weekend. Talking about that game, obviously, you said you saw the lineup, thought we got a chance here. It was the first game, obviously, after the game with Granit Xhaka and all what happened now. I wasn't expecting much, but it felt like it did give us
a positive for the weekend.
Yeah, not so much on the defensive side of it, but to go to Anfield, score 5 goals, Charlie, did you see a little bit from that team after that first game that, you know, they are fighting, they were encouraging signs?
I think the team are fighting altogether, really, anyway. But Martinelli, his work rate from the front, his tenacity, and obviously I know he's young and he's trying to get a place, but his running at the front spread for the rest of the team. Even Ozil was getting up pressure in. I mean, Maitland Niles, I think he had the greatest game again. I don't particularly like him at that front of a three either. I don't think he's very good in it. But I just thought we looked. You know what else was really nice? Watching the game of Novar. I know we laugh
so
about it,
low,
but
so
Torreira's goal, and I know it was a little bit offside, and maybe the penalty, maybe wasn't a penalty for them, but it was just nice not having to worry about, oh, hold on a second, let's go and check it. It was just a nice, natural game, And it was much better to watch it, I thought.
Also, a small positive, I don't know if you saw it, there was a lovely moment when Liverpool went through on penalties where Tierney, all the Arsenal players went to walk off. Tierney really ran and got them all together and just thought, for a player that's only recently signed for Arsenal, already, you know, becoming a leader, trying to get the boys around, you know, let's stay
good.
In this.
That's
exactly what you want to see from your new man, don't
we've
you?
We've got a left back and a right back vying for future captaincy.
Yeah, because Bellerin's
doing the old tracksuit thing before the game with the mascots.
Went to the crowd. Afterwards,
I'm all for it.
I like all that. I mean, some of the shows you want as a football fan, all you want really are players to care, to show a bit of passion, to show a bit of love. What you do, that's all you really ask as a football fan, really. And that's why, as long as someone gives it their all, you know, I never see people like Nicholas Bentner. Rubbish, really, because he give it all. No, but he did. He give it his all.
That's a bit left field, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. No. I won't even say that Nicholas Bentner gave it his all.
No, but he was always not a fan favourite. But he always got a bit of a good ride for the fans. I thought.
No, I liked.
Yeah, because he was a bit of a. Don't really give it. He was sort of what you see is what you got. He weren't that good. We knew he weren't that good.
I can't take anyone seriously when you change their shirt number to 52 or whatever it was.
Because you're getting 52 grand a week.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a.
Dave. Going back to the Bellerin thing, though, because obviously last week, you know, you were pointing out, which I hadn't really noticed, that he was sort of blowing out of his posterior against Vitoria. He got through 90 minutes. Against Liverpool quite well, actually, didn't he? Which is, well, obviously, he didn't play him at the weekend, but you think hopefully in the big one, which we'll preview later in the show, maybe Bellerin will start.
He was always behind Tierney in the
pickup
for coming back rehab-wise anyway. Had a worse injury and it was longer for him to get back. And I think when they were training together, people were thinking, oh, they'd come back at the same time. But he was always behind anyway. So, as you said, Dave, hopefully, he might not. He might, because Chambers, to be fair, done all right.
Yeah.
But he might give Bellerin another 2 weeks.
It's going to be a must-win game.
With the international break and so on, he might give him an extra. But who knows? As I said, we will preview Leicester later on. That is massive.
It's massive. There is a game, of course, on Wednesday at the earlier time, 3:50 against Vitória in Portugal. But the game on Saturday is huge. Leicester away. We'll do a full preview of that one. Let's talk a little bit about Wolves now on the weekend, because as I said earlier, 25 shots at home in a Premier League for the first time ever in the Emirates. We went 1-0 up. I think that flattered us at the start, because I think Wolves had a very good start. Dave's already laughing.
Well, I've just seen Emery in the post-match press conference. We didn't give up many chances.
Yeah.
It's actually a record.
But it is a record.
It may not be clear cut chance.
I know, but Leno made one save in the first half, remember? With a big right hand. One went over, which I think.
If you can't see, Charlie, he's visualising that, just so you know that big right hand is now.
Get on YouTube.
We are streaming that, is right, Dave.
And then, the one just went over. The one we made. And the one they scored, I don't really remember many clear cut opportunities. I thought,
But if we're letting them have chances from the edge of the box, we still shouldn't be doing that at home. I mean, they might, if they've had 25 efforts, okay, they may not be on target, they're not the best side. If that was a good side, we might have lost four.
And the worrying thing
five,
is, as Dave
we?
Says, Charlie, I know they weren't clear cut, but this is what, a month after Watford had 31 chances against
them
on the edge
of the box. As a football manager, I'm not saying that Emery does set up for this, but as a football manager, if you can defend and contain someone 30 yards out to have a pop and then miles off wide, because it wasn't 31 shots on target. I think target, they had six. There weren't many shots on target. If you can contain people to shoot from 30 yards out, that's good defending, really. I mean, if you need something special to beat your goalkeeper. The goal we conceded was very just basic again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With ball over the top, Chambers caught underneath it. Jimenez is always big lump, Jimenez, isn't he? Was up.
Danny Ceballos switched off completely for their goal.
Yeah.
Starting to worry about him, actually.
Yeah. What is going
such,
on there,
such
Dave?
Such high hopes of him. But, I think it's confidence. He talks like the manager's got confidence in me. He made me feel welcome. I feel like I'm part of it. But he hasn't started as many games as he
probably
thought.
Position, does he?
Well, I don't think Emery knows.
No one knows.
I think most of the fans know his best position. I'm just not sure his manager does.
But that's worrying, because you've mentioned his confidence on the last couple of shows, Dave. Where would he have lost his confidence? Where do you think that's come from? Because he seems to thrive on something like that.
I think so far this season he's been asked to play wide left. He's been playing central midfield, sort of playmaker at 10. He's been playing central midfield in a pair, and he's now been played left in a diamond. So he's probably played four different positions in, 13 games? Some of which he started, some of which he hasn't. I don't know. I mean, I would think any player in a new club would want to know their role and know they've got a chance to get used to that role. I'm guessing that's why he's not playing as well as we know he can, because we've seen it at Real Madrid, we've seen it for Spain. He's a quality player.
We've certainly seen it for Spain. Obviously, Real Madrid, they loaned him out this year, so they had fears and concerns over him, but he was back in the side this weekend. There's a few players that don't seem to be fully on the ball at the minute. We mentioned it earlier before we went live, Lacazette being one of them.
Yeah,
is it a fitness thing? He can't get his momentum at the minute.
It's even his attitude at the minute. Off the ball, he waves his arms about a lot at the minute.
But he seems someone that has always a brilliant attitude at Arsenal.
Normally,
he seems to love it at Arsenal.
No, exactly.
You don't win Fans Player of the Year unless you're working hard.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
And
especially
you just mentioned
working
hard for the club. Yeah.
But I just think...
That partnership doesn't seem to be... The two are very, brothers, aren't they?
But as Dave said before, I do honestly think... I think Emery quite clearly would prefer Aubameyang down the middle, at the two, all day long. And with Martinelli playing as well as he is... He's got to be careful.
Well, I wrote about this before Lacazette came back, and I was pilloried in the comments and on Twitter because I said 4-2-3-1, and he's going to have to rotate because I don't want Aubameyang playing out on the left. I don't. And if you, I know you don't agree, Charlie, but I think there's only one person who's winning the best player out of those two through the middle for me. He's Aubameyang is that man. He's been scoring 30 goals a season for 7 years. Lacazette's not done that without penalties anywhere, and that was in France. So
yeah.
He's definitely the class act, and he can't play wide. Aubameyang gets forced out to play wide, and it doesn't help the team. I think Martinelli, as Charlie said, is really pushing for a start as a wide striker, said he wants to play.
And I don't know what formation it would work, but the way Liverpool play with Firmino, with Mane and Salah coming either side, you'd like to think on paper, with Lacazette, Aubameyang, Pepe, you could play the same sort of thing. We haven't really...
Particularly when you've got the fullbacks coming
back. But Lacazette hasn't been used yet as dropping in yet, does he, with the other two coming around and behind?
No, I mean, because he hasn't had Bellerin and he's starting.
No.
That's when he could do that. But the question then is, and a lot of Arsenal fans would debate this, Firmino is really a quality player.
Lacazette
brilliant. Does drop and link play. He battles off team.
Not as good as
he hasn't got the same vision that, that flick, that turn that Firmino's.
Well, it was a big moment, obviously, for fans, certainly on the weekend, because there was no Pepe. Were you both surprised to see him?
I was surprised he didn't come off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a bit surprised he came off the bench. I thought the subs baffled me a bit.
Very, very baffled.
I'm very vocal with the Emery stuff, and I'm trying to be positive to the fact of, I'm not looking at things and being upset as everyone else is. I understand. I'm getting the same concerns. I'm getting the same sort of worries about things. But I'm just not as reactionary saying that we need to sack him and get rid of someone. I think you need to... The guy's taken over the toughest job in football apart from Alex Ferguson. And I just think he needs to be given the chance to reach his target. First year was a given. It was. You can't take Arsene Wenger and just... with that. The crop of players we had, it needs to be given just a little bit of time. I know the time isn't around in football no more, and if we drop off, but Arsenal as a board will look at that, thinking the top four is priority in Champions League football. We've got two options of that: Europa League, top four. Okay, the guy has won the Europa League 3 times, right? And last year we got to the final. Okay, granted the final performance was not the greatest, it is what it is, but he's still got us to the final.
It's been very, very generous, not the greatest.
No.
He's also been incredibly lucky with the teams outside of the obvious not performing. I mean, we were awful at the weekend, and you think we're going to drop further down, and then, Spurs do what they do.
Yeah,
Man United lose. Mm. Everyone below us, Crystal Palace, obviously, they could have gone above us. They lost. Nobody made any ground on him, barring Bournemouth and Sheffield United.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the end of the day, we shouldn't probably be worried by them by the end of the season. If Spurs and Man United start putting a run together, then you start to get concerned if we don't pick up.
We will go on to it, obviously, later on, but
yeah.
Saturday's a...
Well, that's what I was going to say, because one of the teams
it's
that did win
lose.
Yeah, was Leicester, and it is Arsenal-Leicester on the weekend, and that is a massive fixture. I think Charlie and Dave earlier said it is a must-win game. Of course it is. Well, we were just talking about the manager, and I think it's time to get in. Where do you stand on it all?
Love Sports.
Just quickly, have you had enough of extortionate rises when you renew your insurance? You could be saving big money by switching to a cheaper deal. A spokesman said.com compares all the best deals on car and home insurance to find you the one that saves the most cash. Go to a spokesman said.com and start saving money today.
With a spokesman said.com, fighting for you, saving you money.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East and Dave Seager. Well, we just did a little bit of looking at that game with Liverpool in the League Cup. 5-5, Arsenal ultimately going out on penalties. And then the 1-1 draw with Wolves on the weekend. Another disappointing result for the Gunners. Let's talk about the manager then, because so much is being made at the minute. It's dominating all the sports headlines. It is actually growing. Dave mentioned there was a poll on Arseblog. 60,000 people. People voted, 87% want the manager sacked now if that was an option. Did you vote? What would you have voted? Have you seen this? There's even rumours of players not being clear on his tactics, players liking other social media posts about the manager going, Lacazette being one. I'll bring Charlie East.
He's putting his hand up.
We've just been tweeted in.
And as you know, Dave, when someone puts their hand up, it's only right to go to him. So Charlie East, please.
We've just been tweeted in.
I'll go and sit in the corner.
From a guy called Abu. He said, "Hi guys, I'm listening to my headphones. I put little one to bed. I didn't dare tweet this yesterday, but with the news of Wenger on the Bayern Munich shortlist, would anyone like to bring him back for one season?" Sorry, Abel, I'd have to say no to that, mate.
Well, there is a little bit more, and to prepare for either Arteta or Freddie for next season. So before we get into the poll and Unai, Arteta and Freddie for next season, no, someone's tweeting in
not
there.
For me.
I completely agree.
I just think we need... I'm not against Unai Emery getting the season. I'm not. But we need to be looking at people now. I'm not all about a knee-jerk reaction, bringing someone in. If Allegri is available, that's the only person I would happily know Emery was in for now.
Well, he is available.
Is he available? Would he take the job straight away? Might want to... I don't really want to...
What, so you're saying if he was ready to go now, as of next Monday, you would say make the change?
The only manager I would say now for you.
Okay.
Realistically, I'm not going to say, obviously, I'd rather have Pep, but realistically, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But,
I mean,
I thought you wanted to give Unai to the end of the season.
I do want to give Unai to, but I wanted Allegri initially.
Right, okay.
So I would. That's the one I would compromise with. But I think you should be looking at it. I've seen Rafa Benitez pop up, and I think as a short-term solution, if it did to happen, I would happily...
You'd have to take a big pay cut.
Yeah. What do you... When we say this short-term solution, what do we want to achieve in that? Because if we're looking short-term, which for me is the a very un-Arsenal way to look
is,
at things,
why don't we keep... No,
he's completely not
Freddie
the answer
Lundberg
for me. No, he's never and managed the people, game in his life.
And people... Well, Arteta's at the same. I'm seeing people talk about Freddie Lundberg as a... Get Unai out.
Listen, I love Lundberg as a player. I dyed my hair red. I remember the final. But let's be realistic. He hasn't managed the game. I think it's the hipster trend. We're seeing what's happening with Lampard and Chelsea.
I don't think it's that. I think it's because there's an obvious affinity between him and a lot of the players who are probably going to be Arsenal's short-term future. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I think if he didn't have the under-23s and success last year and the obvious relationship with Saka, with Willock, if he didn't have that and it was just the fact he's a legend, I don't think you'd be seeing...
Who likes bringing him in?
Yeah, but he's there. But you can see the way... They talk about Freddie like that. They play young
players. You so are,
I'm
though,
just saying, that's why I think it's been mentioned more than it would have been if he was just the under 20. If he was the under 23s manager and wasn't assistant and hadn't had the success he had last season, I don't think if it'd just be Freddie, I don't think it'd be that. I think it's because there's an obvious relationship with the kids.
I think maybe for you, but I would say the majority of fans go, "Oh, Freddie Lundberg, he's an Arsenal legend. They want him."
If they're going to go Arsenal legend, I'd go for Patrick Vieira. He's got far more management experience.
Exactly. No, but I wouldn't want Vieira either.
No, neither
I'm
would
not
I.
really a fan of bringing back a legend of some sort because they're destined to fail at some point. Do you know what I mean?
It's very old. We've seen it with Henri.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just look across to West London and see that it's going rather well. You know, it can happen.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer went well when he first came in. Look at that now.
We're looking at Chelsea.
Now, you saw the fixtures Solskjaer had. If any manager could have won those first six fixtures.
I'm not saying, I think this Chelsea thing at the moment, everyone's getting all hearts out about
them. Yeah, I agree.
End of the season, I think that could be... I'm not saying it's going to stand them in good stead, but I wouldn't get too excited about that yet if I was a Chelsea fan. Obviously, enjoy it. But I'm saying we've
kind of skipped ahead a little bit because we was going to look at maybe if there was a short-term, a long-term replacement, who could that be? Who would be on our shortlist, as it were? Let's stick focus on Unai still because he is the man in charge. There was this big poll. It is growing now, the calls for him to go. We've just had another tweet in. This says, look, I'm not jumping on the manager at bandwagon, but I'm continually more and more confused by his team selection. His substitutions are truly baffling. I'm not sure how long he's going to get.
The only reason I brought up the Arseblog poll is because it's so big. mean, Ars Blog is the largest.
I read it every day.
And it, therefore, it's not like me doing and I get a couple of thousand votes. This is 60,000 people. So it isn't like a flash in the pan. It's not even like a fan TV reactionary. It's Ars Blog. There's no leading question there. It's just what would you do? Now, and it gives three balanced options.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up. But I agree with that tweet is saying. And I don't agree with what Charlie's saying, because you're saying it's got a project, you've got to wait. If there were signs of progress, most fans would probably agree with you. Nobody was calling for his head at the end of last season. But last season, you could see what he was trying to do. This is my issue. I haven't the faintest idea what he's trying to do. He changes formations and players every week. That's what I have a problem with. There's no consistency, and there's no progress.
I just don't want to be a part of these clubs where your second manager's halfway through the season. I just think you need to be given... The geezer's not out of the mix at the minute. It's not like we're sitting above relegation.
No, I'm not sitting here saying firing. I'm saying I can understand why people are saying
I can understand why people do it. And I think now it's got to the point where it's gone too far for him, really. It's inevitable. He's not going before the end of the season. That is not happening. And supposedly,
is that because of what you know, or because you're saying Arsenal are not that club? They're not that way inclined.
It's not happening before in the season. Arsenal are not going to sack the manager this season. They're not going to. While we're in the Europa League,
this is a new ball, though, isn't it? This is a new Arsenal. People believe that as well with Dom Royal, as they call him. But
Emery and Royal are really pleased with the fact that he's bringing through the youth. He's brought through the kids. They're happy. The Europa League final, they took positive of that. Kroenke's are not going to sack. They're not going to sack him before the end of the season.
I don't believe they will either.
As long as we're in the Europa League. If there was something happened in the Europa League, we went out in the round of 16 or something, maybe. While we're in the Europa League, I guarantee you, it's not going
to
go.
I don't agree with you. I agree with you to the point where it's obvious we're not going to finish in the top four, and then I don't think the Europa League's enough. It's a lottery. If we're 20 points adrift of top four by January...
But we're not going to be 20 points adrift of top four.
Well, if any of the teams who could put a run together do, we could easily be, Charlie, quite frankly. Okay. Well, we're already about 10 points off third, aren't we?
Six points. This Saturday is a bit of a...
It's huge.
It is huge for us. And I think... And I looked at Leicester's fixtures as well after this. They've got a very favourable run.
And the other thing, which we've got down on the notes here for the show, which is what put pay to Wenger, was... empty seats. The Cronkies acted on Wenger when they started to see 45,000 people instead of 60,000.
It wasn't that bad,
but and you're starting to see. Yeah, but it was the same. Palace was a lot of empty seats as well. You are starting to see empty seats, and it's the people who are paying the big bucks. It's people in the club level where they're all empty. Mm. You know? And so, if you start to see real fans not selling their season tickets or not coming, then that's the other factor, Charlie. You can't ignore that.
But what I would say as well, which is a common knowledge,
the other Charlie's putting his hand up now.
Yeah, I should let him talk.
Go on, Chaz.
I've been a victim to it. When it is hammer it down at Arsenal. Them front seats do get empty because people go sit at the back rows or stand at the back. They generally do. They squeeze in that way it looks. But it wasn't empty Saturday. Towards the end it was. 10 minutes to go it was. People go. But it wasn't like it as a...
No, I'm not saying it is now, but I'm saying it's starting.
Yeah. I know people now getting really worked up now, and I understand the frustrations. The majority of these people are the ones who are so anti-Emery are the ones who either love Wenger or love Ozil. It's like a personal agenda, which I'm really disliking about it. And there is a bit of that, Dave.
Yeah, but Dan, that's not me.
I'm not
a fair example either because of what's happening in my personal life. I just want to go to football and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'm not. Quite frankly, I'm not enjoying match day. You know, I'm enjoying the drink before, I'm enjoying being with friends, but the actual watching the football, I'm not enjoying that.
No.
You say that they're just, you know, fans who are very pro Wenger or pro Ozil. They're also maybe fans that wanted Wenger out, they want Unai out. You just can't please certain fans all the time. You mentioned it. Let's talk about the frustrations, because whether it was the weather, whether it was the manager, fans staying away on the weekend, I know you said the ball would worry about it when they see 5,000, 10,000 not
definitely
there. It's not just that when they're staying away. It's when those numbers start to grow because, as you mentioned it now, Charlie, frustrated fans are on the rise because we're seeing groups, you know, started off as silly little bits of printed paper, Unai out, now fans maybe working on flags, banners. Is that number, are you seeing it from game to game, is that growing?
I'll tell you an experience on Saturday, and this is God's honest truth. I was walking out the ground.
Is this a Love Sport exclusive?
This is a Love Sport exclusive. No, I put it on Twitter, actually.
Oh.
I was walking out the ground on Saturday, and there's a guy with Unai out sign in front of me. And I was
raging.
I grabbed it off him, I ripped it in half, and I threw it. I said to him, what are you doing? You're an embarrassment. I mean, you want to be on the telly. That's what it's all about. You want to be on telly for a sign. I said to him, you're an idiot, mate. Mm. I ripped the sign out in front of him. He was all sort of stuttering. And I'd sort of... Things like that. And it's the same with all this Arsenal fan TV lot. It seems like a lot of people think it's fashionable to be like, oh, I'm at Emery out. Because when he does get eventually go, say, oh, I told you from day one. I told you I know my stuff. A lot of it has become very fashionable. This is social media.
But what is the answer, though? They don't want Unai. This is the problem. Because I don't know where I stand here, but this Unai, for what? For who? Where?
Exactly. That's what I don't know.
And certainly, let's bring it up, because we're talking about it now anyway. This Mourinho talk, I absolutely hate it. I mean, this is a man who, you know, way he spoke about Arsenal and Arsene
and
Wenger, wherever
so
you stand on Wenger, the way he spoke about it. Now, these are the fans want him in, whether it is a small portion, a small minority, and then they go, we don't know the style under Unai. We don't like the football under Unai. Have you seen a Mourinho side? This is unbelievable. Where are the calls for Jose
That's
Mourinho?
Good,
I can't understand
it.
Yeah.
There are, like, just ridiculous.
He was the
guest of a Portuguese company in a box. It was nothing to do with the club, and the club have said Raul had dinner with him 4 years ago. So he's not telling a lie. They're saying I had dinner with him, but he had dinner with him 4 years ago.
Yeah.
This is Castle is always Castles, been Jose's mouthpiece in the press. He writes whatever Jose wants to write. Jose wants a job in London. Mm. This is the best job that's likely
Still
to be available
there.
In London.
Yeah. West Ham could be available in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I don't think Jose will go for that.
No.
Of course he wants to manage Arsenal. But I tell you what, I was with Chidge yesterday, obviously, on the Fans Forum show. And
Sunday, 3-7.
They had exactly the same situation when Benitez came to Chelsea, because they absolutely despised Benitez because of that history between Chelsea and Liverpool in that early, you know, Mourinho tenure. And they hated it. Even though they won the Europa League, they hated it. They couldn't wait for him to go. And that's what Arsenal fans should feel about Jose Mourinho.
And I agree. I think all three of us are in agreement there. We all feel that about him, but there is a minority, even if it is a small one, that say I'm starting to come round to Jose.
Oh, we'd bring his trophies.
Oh, yeah, we'd be secure, we'd be stable.
Some of them
back.
Are people
Why
we
not?
Know quite well as
yeah,
well.
Well, this is the problem, and sometimes whether it is just a mouthpiece and it's what he's putting out through the middle, sometimes the fans that want him are the fans that are heard. Dave, they're the vocal fans because they are on the Arsenal TV and somewhere else. So yeah, so is that a worry? Because the fans that do want Mourinho, whether it's not us three or whatever groups we're in, the ones that want him are the ones that are maybe heard the most.
No, exactly. And
we're meant to be a teamwork here. Can you stop passing notes, you two? I want to feel part of the team. I thought I was the third musketeer. What's happening
just
here?
I'm
an Arsenal fan. You lodged the United bloke. I still can't get a look in on this show.
You're with us, John. Don't worry, mate.
You're not on Twitter. It wouldn't mean anything to you, mate.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
I've got my number. Text me.
Sorry, back to your question about
please.
What do we do now?
Yeah.
Right? A realistic option. And mention the names, right? Some people mentioned Freddie to end the season. Personally, I it's utter nonsense. I couldn't say that. Mourinho is definitely a big no-no for me. Okay, I've seen people say about the Ajax manager Ten Hag, who I like. I think he's a very good manager. I'd happily take him. He has publicly come out today and said he is not leaving Ajax. He's there to end the season
until Bayern Munich bump up those.
Well, he's come out. Even look, breaking news: Erik Ten Hag says he is staying at Ajax for the rest of the season.
Oh, that was like a Love Sport exclusive there. You got in there before the mainstream.
Just come on over there. I see it. So honestly, he weren't going nowhere. I said, you think? I wouldn't be surprised if Bayern go and get Mourinho.
He's not going Germany.
Uh-huh.
Dave's right. He wants a job in London. He stayed in a hotel for 2 years at Man United. He's not going Germany.
But straight away, so no Mourinho. I'm not having Freddie. Arteta's not going to leave Man City this time.
No, I agree with that. Not chance.
Why would he want to leave that?
Why would he want to leave? We're talking about the options. We want you to tweet your options.
He is an option down the line, but
I
not
agree
now.
With that. Option down the line. I agree with that. I wouldn't be adverse.
I'm definitely not part of the team. They're not even letting me go for a break. We are talking about your options. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558 on the Charlie and Dave Arsenal fan show.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Arsenal fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Dave Seeger and Charlie East. Well, obviously tonight, a big fixture of the show. We know there is a big fixture on the weekend, Arsenal versus Leicester. What a game that is. But the big fixture of tonight's show is the manager. There are huge numbers and they are growing. And you've been tweeting us as well. And you can tweet at Love Sport Radio or call us. We want to hear from you tonight. Have your say. Do you agree with Charlie? Do you agree with disagree with us? Let us know. 0208 7020 358. We've had a tweet into the studio, and it does agree with what Dave has been saying now, because it says, this one from Chris Davison, who we have on the show sometimes, and he's tweeted in, evening guys, I think one of the main issues are that the fans have with Emery is that the fact that they aren't seeing many or any improvements on the pitch. Performances have been poor. Some of the results have been unacceptable. This is happening after a bad end to the last campaign. That bad end to the last campaign, for some fans, I think for you as well, Dave, it's carried over, hasn't it? And you know, those worries, you know, like a bad taste almost, like a bad hangover, it's not quite gone away, has it?
Yeah, no, I think I think it did sort of go away because we had such a positive window and everyone got a bit excited about the new season. And then first game against Newcastle, I'd have taken 1-0 there all day. Good start, solid. Then we had a, you know, we were okay against Burnley. So, you know, two wins, you're thinking, this is positive.
Everyone thought we were flying.
And then it just hasn't really been very consistent since. And it is this constant change in formation. I mean, let's just take the last weekend as a case in point. You know, he is going to start Ozil, I thought. So he does. You see Ozil's playing and you think this is 4-2-3-1, and he plays a diamond. You think, well, I can deal with that. If it's a diamond and Ozil was at the point of the diamond, that's still pretty much Ozil's position. But what was happening was he didn't play Torreira at the base. He played Guendouzi. Torreira was on the right, and he was far advanced than Ozil most of the time. And Ozil wasn't getting the ball from anyone else, so he was dropping deep. And if I'm the manager, if I can see that, and I've coached at kids' level, Charlie can see that, he coaches at men's football, most men who watch, or women who watch football every week, can see that. Well, why can't the manager see that? And OK, we can say about the players, and Ozil rightly is coming to get the ball because he's not getting it, but he shouldn't have to, because then he's not in the positions we want him. So that's the sort of thing that frustrates me.
I agree, and I agree with Chris's tweet. I do. Mm. And I've just said you off air. I'm frustrated as much as everyone else. And there are some things he does, it baffles me. The substitution on Saturday, when he took off Torreira and brought on Saka. And I thought to myself, why? I didn't know why he'd done that.
Like, I mean, sometimes you think, okay, there's one substitution and then another one, and so there's a gradual change. But it wasn't even like that, was it? That.
Surely he wins 1-0-1-0. You want Pepe on that pitch. Mm. Surely sitting on the bench doing nothing. I think,
particularly when he's just got his confidence up after those two goals.
Exactly.
As well.
And he takes Lacazette off quite a lot of time. And I can see why, because he wants Aubameyang through the middle. Mm. It's like he starts Lacazette, packed him off after 65 minutes, and he gets Aubameyang through what he wants.
But he had both of them. He had two strikers, didn't he?
I know.
He played 4-4-2 with a diamond.
But it's frustrating, and the Ozil stuff. But also, as much as he is getting the stick, Emery, I think the players have got to share a bit of responsibility as well. I really do. Mm. I think we've been quite unfortunate. He has been a little bit unfortunate with the injuries, I think, to start the season. He's not had a natural right back and a natural left back.
Abu's come back to you.
Has he?
Yeah.
What's Abu said? Following Charlie's remark, I wasn't particularly pro Wenger and defo not pro Ozil, although very respectful of the gentleman or relief when he left. As for Ozil, I was incensed with his pre-contract behaviour. Mostly I spent the past years lamenting our failure to replace Santi.
You read that perfect for radio, by the way. Enthusiastic lad. You two make fantastic radio. Just cut him off. We're talking player performance.
But it's interesting because Abu's got a point there. Because I think but we all thought Ceballos was that man, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he still could be.
Santi is a man. We never replaced Santi as well. He was
Santi.
The one player. That year when you were injured, which I'll never forgive Wenger for.
Should have won the league, yeah.
Never forgive Wenger for. We were 5-0 up against Ludogorets. And he had a knock, take him off.
Yeah.
Take him off. He didn't. He got injured at the end of that game.
And look at him now, though.
Flying.
Yeah.
But we had the guy, I mean, I want to get him on the show again, actually. The guy who, from the Spanish correspondent for ESPN, for David Cartledge, we had on the show a while ago.
He
told us a lot about Ceballos. But he also, if you probably noticed now, his tweets about Emery. And now there's a thread that he put in May 2018 of everything we should expect about Emery.
Yeah,
underachievement, not getting on with big players, changing formations, too many videos. Everything he said, he's like lost at Nostradamus. But he's the same guy who said Ceballos is the new Santi. He did say that. But he needs to play in a two alongside a defensive midfield player.
Because the thing that's always touted with Unai is that, he's won three Europa Leagues, he won them back-to-back, incredible European pedigree, fantastic
that's
manager.
Not second-tier European pedigree.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that whenever people talk about him, you always hear that mention, he's a great manager. Let's not forget, one of the seasons that he'd done that, Seville didn't win one away league game. They didn't win one game on the road. That is not good for a manager, someone who's managing Seville in La Liga. And Arsenal, you know, we're seeing it sometimes as well. You know,
Pochettino's on for doing that this season.
Yeah, people never talk about
that. I'll take
not
winning
an
away
that.
Game for a great league win this year.
I will take winning your Europa League.
And not win one away game in the Premier League. I'll take a trophy all day long.
Yeah, but then that means you're really struggling for top four and other things if you're not.
That's a bit of tongue in cheek comment. But
well, let's go back to because players and how much they should shoulder the blame, Charlie. I think it's a really big thing. We're seeing attitudes change of some of the players. We mentioned the post they're like on social media. How much do they play a part in this?
I think firstly, I don't think we're that good player wise. I think our squad's not the greatest. I think it's not a great squad, so to speak. I'm quite happy with Leno. I think Leno does. The mere fact you don't talk about Leno, it means he's doing a good job. Because you mean we've had some really bad years of goalkeepers, and I'm quite happy with him.
Oh, see, I think we have got a good squad. We've got a blend of youth and experience that is as good as Man United and Chelsea. And Chelsea are outperforming us. Leicester are outperforming us.
I worry about our right and left back position. I think that's such a key position. We've not had them all season.
I do agree with Dave on that. I think come on, the start of the
season, Charlie. We were all pretty happy after that.
It's been the best it's been in ages.
No, I agree with you. I was a bit gutted with letting Monreal go.
Yeah, that. No, I was.
That's a bit of a crazy decision now, looking at the way things have gone and how long it took Tien to get back. Because I'm not having Kolasinac at all.
No,
I'm not. Okay, and he's played the majority of the season. Yeah. Callum Chambers, he's done all right, but he's not a right back. Even that goal Saturday was down to him. It's his fault, ultimately. The goal against Palace. He's had a rick every game. He has, really. He's had a rick.
But
every
he's
game.
Not bringing Maitland-Niles back in, even though he's fit, isn't he?
No, exactly, but Maitland-Niles is no good either.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So that's three players straight away. Socrates, I can't make my mind up. But in 1 minute, I'm really out of him. Next minute, I'm not too sure. David Luiz.
But you're not a big fan on Holding. And that's a really surprised me
last
week.
Did you see him
week.
Wednesday night?
I'm sorry, mate. I've got to defend him. He's just coming back from injury. It's a massive injury.
Did you see him Wednesday night?
Yeah, but you're saying Bellerin's not quite there yet.
No,
Holding's not.
No,
quite
he's not.
There.
He's no,
he was good last year.
Stand on Holding.
I like him a lot. I mean, I don't think he's
the answer.
I don't.
He's been picked up like Frank Abraji.
No. I think he's a great answer if we've got a top draw player alongside him. I think with the right partner, he is the answer.
I think Luiz could play next to him.
Yeah, I do think that's. I think that's the first choice. Until January, at least.
I think we lack at midfield.
Well, just very quickly, we have had a call into the studio. I believe, Ricky, you've called in. Ricky, you want to talk a little bit about the team and what
it's
you
not Ricky
think
from
the
last word on Spurs, is it?
I really hope not. Ricky, you want to talk about the formation and the team at the minute, don't you?
Yeah, I was just literally about to say what I think Charlie just said there. I would say about playing David Luiz and Torreira in front of Socrates and Holding. So I thought before Holding got injured last season, I thought he was playing quite well with Socrates. Then obviously having Tierney and Bellerin either side of them, and then Ozil, Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang up front.
We did actually talk about David Luiz possibly playing defensive midfield with Charlie and I on last week's show, actually. I wouldn't go. Yeah, I mean, Luiz and Torreira, right? I mean, you were talking about Chambers playing defensive midfield as well, Charlie, last week. But no, I wouldn't disagree with that formation. But you want 4-2-3-1, Ricky, which I think we both do here as well.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think with Tierney and Bellerin, you've got to sort of look at Liverpool and what they're doing with their full-backs.
Ricky, a big theme of tonight's show has obviously been a manager. We're hearing from all different types of fans. Where do you stand on it? Do you think Unai needs to be given more time?
I'm going to be honest. Do you know what? I'd make.
We'd like you to be honest.
they're non-stop messaging me. He's got to go. I don't know. They've given me the ump. I thought he needs a bit more time, but the only thing that's frustrating me is just, his massive things, his subs not making any sense. And two, he's just misusing players, I think. I think Torreira's got to play defensive midfielder.
I agree with
that. We all agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just frustrating.
Ricky, do you not feel, I mean, just hearing you talk there, do you not think that it gets me down, all this Unai out stuff? Just the way some people are really driving it too much, and I just get to the point of try and support
can't
the
be
team
helping,
a bit
can
more.
It,
it can't help at all. What do you think about it, Rick? Sometimes, I don't hear much of it at games, to be honest with you.
It's all social media. It's them idiots, Arsenal fans. they're giving a platform for all these that don't even bother going to the games. It's just once. I mean, that's frustrating. But my old man's, he's old school Arsenal. He's had a season ticket for years. But even him now, he's picking and choosing games now. He just says he's bored. He just lets his ticket go for nothing.
I think that's been years of that now, though, isn't it, Rick, to be fair?
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that.
I mean, I was up at Anfield on Wednesday. I took my little girl and I took my nephew as well for their first games. And as good as it was for them, like amazing game to go to. You know, if you're 4-2 up at Anfield, to what happened against their under-21 team was, I don't know.
It's not like it's the first time we've blown a two-goal lead this season, is it?
Oh, no, no. That's
at least they're lucky they've not seen the 5-0 defeats up there, mate. We've seen a few of them, haven't we?
Oh, no, I know, mate.
Like,
yeah, I've left
at half-time
many a time.
Don't be saying that live on air.
Ricky, how are you feeling ahead of the weekend's game? Because as Charlie and Dave said, it's a must-win game. It is huge. Leicester absolutely flying. Are you feeling confident for this one?
Not in the slightest. I think they look really good this season, Leicester, especially since Brendan Rodgers has been there. So, yeah, I'm not really... I don't know. To go there and get, I mean, the good thing is, to go there and get a draw will be a good result, but then it's not. We need a win, so yeah. It's not. If that makes sense, it's an hard one. I think I'll be. It's one of them. If we win, I think we'll get a bit of momentum, win a few games. Everyone will forget about this Emery out stuff. It's just the way football is nowadays. But then if we lose, they're going to be straight back on it.
Yeah, you couldn't get a bigger win than that to turn the Unai stuff around, especially with the way Leicester are playing this year. Ricky, we really appreciate you calling into the studio. Thanks, Rick. Always good to hear from more Arsenal fans and what they think. Well, we are talking about the Leicester game and we'll be doing a preview of that must-win fixture next.
I'm going to say something.
First call. Love
Sport. You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East and Dave Seagull. We've been talking about the Wolves game, the Liverpool game, and now it's time for us to turn our attentions to the game on the weekend, which is Leicester. We've obviously been talking about the manager, as all you Arsenal fans are at the minute. We even heard from Ricky just phoning in there. There is still time to phone in tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Let's talk about the game on the weekend because it is absolutely huge. Charlie was just talking up the atmosphere. I'm not after the atmosphere. I'm after 3 points and the W's, all we care about. But can we get it? Another thing that Dave's mentioned, which is big tonight, is the formation and the lineup. Dave, how are you predicting Arsenal will turn out in this one?
Impossible. Impossible.
You can't
impossible to
it.
Predict what Emery's going to do. I know what I'd like him to do. I know what I think he should do, but...
What would you like him?
No,
what
I would like him to go back to four. I'd like him to stick with Ozil for the time being and go back to 4-2-3-1. And I think what Charlie said earlier makes a lot of sense. I would probably go Pepe on the right, Aubameyang on the left, Lacazette in the middle with Martinelli, you know, waiting to come on. And then I would go with Torreira and Guendouzi. I wouldn't bring Xhaka back, and I would go for it with Bellerin. If he doesn't last 90 minutes, he doesn't last 90 minutes. No. You know, I would rather Bellerin was saved for Saturday and he doesn't play Wednesday. Let Chambers play Wednesday on Maitland-Niles and save Bellerin for Saturday. And have Bellerin, Tierney I think he'll probably stick with Socrates and Luiz. But yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if it was Holding and Luiz. But that's my team.
I wouldn't have Holding against Vardy yet, just to carry that pace. Just because he doesn't look fit. I wouldn't have that. But I think we've got to be positive. I quite like the fact we're going up there as underdogs. I like that. I like when we're underdogs. I don't like when we're expected to win. I hate it because I know what we like. We bottle it. We're not playing catch-up on a Sunday, which it seems like we've been doing loads lately. Seeing everyone else's results, and then we've got to respond.
It is a late kick-off, though, the 5:30 kick-off.
It is indeed, but United are playing Sunday, and things like a lot of people are playing Sunday. I'm looking forward to going up there Saturday. It's always, as I said, it is always a good game, Leicester. And we normally, apart from last year, we normally do all right up there. I mean, last year was a bit of that
when they won the league, we was the only team to beat them twice.
We did beat them twice.
Only lost three
Somebody
games.
Somebody said that recently.
Sanchez that trick. Didn't he? Sanchez that trick in a little bit last minute one. So
what a game that was.
I
remember.
Of the Emirates era, that's the best I've ever heard that ground. For that I hit the floor and everything.
When Welbeck scored, it was.
I thought we were gonna win the league. Yeah, no, we lost to Swansea on the Tuesday night.
I really thought we was gonna do it. It was in February, I remember.
That was Valentine's Day.
That was the only time it's rivaled that was the Arshavin against Barcelona. They were the two goals where the absolutely.
Yeah.
If there was a roof, it would have come off.
But going back to, and one of the Tottenham ones, the 5-3, that was quite a 5-2.
Don't give him an extra goal, Charlie. Crying out loud.
Well, but I just think, going on Saturday, as Dave just said, we've got to take the game to them. We're Arsenal Football Club. I know everyone's sort of, no one's giving us a sniff on Saturday. Every pundit you see, everyone's talking, we're going to Leicester's be in a good bit of form. We're going to take the game to them. Try and nullify Vardy. I know it's hard on it.
I think this is going to be what Emery said. I'd rather win 5-4 than lose. You know, like we won't stop them scoring.
No, of course we won't. But we
just have to score a few.
I agree with you. We've got to have that front four of Pepe right, Lacazette left, Aubameyang through the middle, Ozil behind.
You play Lacazette on the left?
Lacazette through the middle, Aubameyang on the left. As we said,
interchangeable.
And then the two sitting there, Guendouzi, Torreira sitting next to each other. No space for Ceballos and me. I wouldn't be in first, Chambers or Bellerin, but. He's got to start, for me. And I think if we can get an early goal, I mean, we just put the game to them. I think, come on, we're a football club.
I think we have to play Bellerin because Barnes is quick. Barnes is really quick.
Does
on
he
the
start
left.
From
yeah, yeah, he has the last few games. He's been starting on the left. Tamari Gray's been coming on, but Barnes has been starting on the left. He's quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he worries me against pace. He worries me against pace.
Chambers. That's why I start Bellerin. Or Niles even, actually, if he's not fit, because they're both quicker than Chambers.
When you say, because we're all Arsenal fans here, this is the Arsenal fan show, but when you say, we've got to take it to them, we're Arsenal Football Club, what does that mean? Now, Charlie, because you said it, do the players know that? It doesn't give them that 10%, because we watch them. Sometimes we don't see that desire, that fight, that commitment.
And I don't think Arsenal have got the name of the old days. We ain't got a fear factor.
It won't change the result, does it? We've got to take it to
them. You know, people used to be scared of Man United.
Massively.
Used to go out to Old Trafford, think, oh, they've already won them up, we got there. They haven't got that. We've not got that no more, either. We haven't. People look at us, think,
we haven't had it for 15 years.
Yeah. People look at us, think, oh, we get...
Honestly, it's the most depressing thing. When I do the opposition fan show for the other one, it was horrible. Last week on the Palace one, I can't wait to play Arsenal. We're going to get a result with Emirates. I was like, oh. And they never do it. Whenever it's the supposed other big four, big six, they go, ooh, don't know. When Arsenal, brilliant, can't wait. Home or away. Honestly, there's no fear from any other side there. So when you say, we're Arsenal, and I'll do it as well.
No.
I think it's a thing that fans do to themselves, more to psych your own self up for the game on a Saturday.
I always try and go into a game positive as possible. I think, can we get a good result? We've got... Aubameyang scored again last week. Scored
50 goals. We haven't mentioned that.
As I always say, the beauty of football is there's always the next game.
Exactly that. Exactly.
Thankfully, it comes every 3 days with Arsenal.
Yeah,
so
Wednesday night, I played with virtue through on that group.
Yeah.
Don't take anyone who needs to be playing.
Quite excited about a 3:50 kickoff.
Yeah, I'm watching that. Get out of work early and watch that.
Lovely.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Charlie doesn't work during the day.
Yeah, this is it. I'll get in here. No notes. I'll do it all. Yeah. I don't need no notes for you two. You take over.
No, exactly.
Just talk about the Vitória game. Yeah, we should talk a little bit about that. But you say we're already through. We're not quite, but we win this one. It would have been obviously 4 games, 4 wins, and then we're sailing. Will that change things as well? Because then we can play whichever side we want with 2 games to go.
Yeah, but I think we've got to look to Saturday's. We're 6 points behind them. We lose on Saturday. That's massive gap 9 this early on, and we've got quite a favour. I know we thought a couple of weeks ago we've got a nice favourable set of fixtures, but we always know Wolves and Palace and Leicester ruined our season last season.
Dave, why are you laughing?
Yeah. No, just that we had a favourable run of no, we haven't.
But I mean, we've got Southampton
on paper. There's no such thing, is
Norwich
there?
Well,
December's coming up, and we've got like Chelsea, Man United,
got Chelsea
Man
twice.
City,
in close succession.
Everton away.
Wait, I tell you, I mean, look, put it this way. There's absolutely no doubt at all that we've got the players to beat Leicester. There's no doubt in my mind at all. We've got better players than them, but in not all positions. But I mean, certainly Tielemans would walk into our team. Yeah. Vardy would walk.
I think that's Sönke would.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting that when we was having a manager chat, we didn't talk about Brendan Rodgers because I know.
Well,
I was going to.
Yeah. That's really annoyed me on Twitter because all these people who wouldn't have touched him with a barge pole 18 months ago saying we should have gone for him. You know, come on, oh, it annoys me.
I know,
but at least be honest with yourselves, for crying out loud.
I like him.
I've always liked him. Most Arsenal fans
don't like him because he's Celtic Liverpool.
Yeah.
I've never liked him.
But no, I think on paper, there are obviously some very good Leicester players, but we shouldn't be frightened of them if we know what we're doing. So he's just got in training this week. He's got to set it out. He's got to know exactly what they're doing. The players have got to know exactly what they're doing. And if we do that in our strong formation with Ozil playing well, of course we can beat Leicester.
Well, if they know what they're doing, that's what we're seeing.
That's
every
the
week.
Question.
Well, I thought that's a big question. We should have asked that a lot earlier. Let's quickly get a score prediction. Charlie, I'll start with you. I know you're positive about it. We're Arsenal. We're going to take it to them. They're going to fear us.
I'll
what
go 2-1 to the Arsenal.
2-1 to the Arsenal. Dave, what did you say?
3-2 to the Arsenal.
Oi, oi!
Either way, I take it.
What are you
score
saying, Charlie?
For the Arsenal.
There's no way it's only going to be 3 goals in that
Charlie,
game.
Charlie, what are you going to say?
I'm saying I really hope it's 2-1 or 3-2.
To the Arsenal.
Right.
Clean sweep.
Well, this has been the Arsenal Fan Show with Gunners Town. Charlie Easton, Dave Seager. You can catch us every Monday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.